Good morning. Happy Wednesday morning. I felt like it wasn't just the other day. We were at the same time, at the same moment. This past week has absolutely flown by. Just like me and Brother Kevin were talking about, so many people are sick. So I encourage everybody to stay prayed up. Pray for people around us, our family, our friends, and definitely ourselves. Let's pray, and then we will go to the Word of God. It's going to come out of Mark chapter 3, verse 1. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy and grace, Lord. I thank you that you love us and that you take care of us, that your desire is to bless us. God, I pray that you will give us the kind of faith that will allow us to act and watch you react, God. God, that we can have a faith that it's moving, a faith that challenges us, a faith that will forever change the history of the world. God, I pray this morning that you will give us understanding of your word, that you will reveal it to us so that we can not only understand it, but we can apply it to our lives so that others around us will see your goodness. They'll see your power. They'll see your grace. And most of all, God, they'll see your love and you'll receive all the glory. We pray these things by faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. In Mark chapter 3, verse 1, probably a story many people have heard, if not everybody. It's the story of, I guess a lot of people call, the man with the withered hand. This man was in a situation that he had a hand that most scholars believe was from birth. He was dysfunctional. From birth, his hand was shorter than the other. His arm probably was even shorter. He was in a situation that most people looked at him with, they ridiculed him. He was probably an outcast. I mean, with all the medical things we understand nowadays, there's still so many things we don't understand. But think about back then, you know, a lot of people thought if somebody was born with a sickness or an illness or a deformity that him or their parents had sinned, they did something wrong against God. But how many of us know this morning that sometimes when things don't look perfect in our lives, that that's just an opportunity for God to come in and invade that space and perform a miracle so that everybody around us can't argue that it was God and God alone that did it? Think about this man with this withered hand. No doubt it was hard for him to provide for his family. No doubt it was hard for him to be accepted by his family and friends because he didn't look like them, because he didn't function like them. But I praise God this morning that God calls you and me a peculiar people. We're not supposed to do it like everybody else. We're not supposed to live like everybody else. We're not supposed to give like everybody else. We're not also supposed to receive like everybody else. I want to encourage you this morning that if you don't feel like everybody else, that's a good sign. I want to encourage you this morning that sometimes I even still feel like an outcast in certain situations, but those are the times that I believe God wants to speak to me. God wants to show up and show out. And if I can be like this man with the withered hand, then I believe God can bring about glory. You know, it's kind of a weird thought to say, hey, I want to be like this man with the withered hand. But in this story in Mark chapter 3, we're about to watch a man. We're about to read about a man that was willing to go to God with his dysfunction. He was willing to go to God with his adversity. He was also willing to go to God regardless of what everybody around him thought. How many of us this morning fit into that category? See, I don't much care what people think around me, but sometimes I like my dysfunction. Sometimes I like holding on to something that's causing me not to be able to accomplish what God wants me to. But in Mark chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, and he being Jesus, entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely. This is the Sadducees, the Pharisees, all the religious leaders, they were watching him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. Verse 3, and he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. Verse 4, then he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill, but they kept silent. Verse 5, and when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts. I want to stop right there. There's several times in Scripture that the Bible says that Jesus was angry, that he was upset. And when those times pop up, I like to try to understand them. So, you know, definitely we all want to understand what pleases God, but it's also a great idea to understand what angers God. When you look at those words, the blindness of their hearts in the original language, it means that Jesus was upset, he was angered at them because they were willing to stay blind. They were willing to stay in the state that they were in. I used to thought it meant that Jesus was, he was upset with them because of their lack of faith. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. The original language breaks it down and it's really descriptive. It says that Jesus was angry. He was upset with them because they were so willing to stay in the position they were in and unwilling to come out of it. They were happy being stuck. They were happy not believing. They weren't even willing to give God a chance. Brothers and sisters, this morning, there's been plenty times in my life I didn't believe God. I didn't trust God. But I always want to encourage myself and say, God, I may not believe completely, or I may not understand how you're going to accomplish it, but I'm willing to give you a chance. I want to encourage you this morning, when you feel like all hope is gone, when you feel like, will this storm ever end? Never, ever, ever get in a position that you're not willing to give God a chance. Don't be so stubborn. We shouldn't be so set in our ways that we're not willing to see God do it a little different. I've been to many, many different types of churches in my life. I've been to the ones that are the most traditional to the absolute other end of the spectrum. And what I notice when I go to these places is that some of the people are so stuck in their ways that they're not willing to think God can do it a different way. So what? My salvation maybe doesn't look like yours. And I'm thank God this morning that maybe the way you praise God doesn't look like the way I praise God, but it doesn't mean your way is wrong, and it doesn't mean my way is wrong. What I believe when we get wrong is when we believe that our way is absolutely the only way to express ourselves to God. You see, these Sadducees, these religious leaders, were so willing to let go of any possibility that this man was who he says he was. They were so focused on simple words on the page that they weren't willing to see the word manifest before them. How many of us this morning are so willing to believe the state of the economy that we forget about the one that owns the cattle of 1,000 hills? How many of us this morning are so focused on the report of a doctor that was created by El Shaddai, God himself, that we forget God is still in control of every doctor's report? I want to encourage us this morning to know that we can be like this man with the withered hand, and all we have to be willing to do is step forward. You see, when Jesus told him to step forward, the man with the withered hand, there's no way he said, "Nah, Jesus, I'm okay. I don't need you to intervene. I like the way I am. I like being stuck. I like this situation. I like being short. I like being shriveled. I like not having exactly what I stand in need of." According to the scripture, the man stepped forward. And I believe at the point that the man stepped forward, that is when he started to receive his healing. You see, I don't believe if the man stood back that God would have healed him that day. Not that he couldn't have, but I believe Jesus wanted this man to act, and he wanted Jesus to react. You see, God wants us to have a faith of action. He wants us to take the first step sometimes, and then his reaction will be to accomplish that miracle or that prayer request or whatever it may be. Jesus told the man to step forward, And as he stepped forward, he looks around at the religious leaders and he is angry because they're so willing to stay in the position that they're in. In verse 5, the Bible says, "And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other." Verse 6, "Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him." Last verse, verse 7, "But Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea." I think it absolutely amazing that Jesus told the man with the withered hand to stretch his hand out. "But Jesus, don't you understand that my hand is shriveled? I don't have the tissue. I don't have the muscle to stretch forth my hand." You see, brothers and sisters, this morning, God knows exactly the situation that you and me are in. He knows that what me and you think impossible is absolutely possible with him. But Jesus is telling us, God this morning is telling us to stretch ourselves, to be willing to extend our faith. You see, in the natural, stretching, I absolutely hate. I am the least flexible person on planet Earth, to the point my golf coach makes fun of me pretty much every time he sees me. I can't touch my toes. But he told me a few weeks ago that if I was willing to stretch, if I was willing to do certain things, that I could gain mobility. It would only enhance my golf swing. It would only help me in different areas of my life. And I didn't really want to do it, but I've been doing it and I've seen great improvement. And I began to look up about stretching and how it adds circulation and range of motion and all these amazing benefits if we're willing to stretch. But you know, the number one reason that I wasn't willing to stretch is because it was uncomfortable. It made me feel uncomfortable. I wasn't used to it. I wasn't willing to be in a position of vulnerability. Yes, it brought a little pain. Yes, it wasn't common to me, but above everything else, I absolutely felt uncomfortable because I didn't understand how to do it. I didn't understand how to work my muscles. I wasn't willing to take a baby step and then a little bigger step. How many of us this morning can learn from the fact that when Jesus told this man with the withered hand to stretch forth his hand, he didn't say stretch forth your arm. He said stretch forth your hand. He wanted the man to do something absolutely impossible, but as soon as Jesus told this man to stretch, I believe the word of God, holy, I believe the word of God attached itself to this man's hand. And he said, stretch, and that hand had no choice but to extend itself. You see, brothers and sisters, the Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide. It's able to go to the very innermost parts of our being, and it's able to cut us and take away those things that should not be there. You see, the word of God is quick and it's powerful. You see, the word of God is going to accomplish everything that it sets out. I look at the word of God when God speaks a word on something as a boomerang. He throws it out and it's got to come back to him. The Bible says, not void, meaning it has purpose, meaning it accomplished everything that he set it out to do. You see, this morning, I have good news. When he told that man to stretch forth his hand, immediately his hand was restored. Immediately he was made new. Immediately those tendons and those muscles, they began to go forth like God intended them from the very beginning. Brothers and sisters, I believe God is telling us to stretch. I believe he's telling us to get into some positions that are uncomfortable. And maybe that's tithing for the first time. Maybe that's giving something to somebody you don't really want to a couple times. Maybe that's studying in the morning instead of falling asleep at night with a Bible in your hand like me sometimes. Maybe it's different things in our lives, and I believe God speaks to each one of us individually, but I promise you one thing. He wants us to stretch. He wants us to get to a place that it's uncomfortable to us, because He is the comforter, and He will bring comfort to a place of uncomfortability. He is exactly who He says He is this morning. And I want to encourage you that most of the time in our lives, the reason something's not taking place is because God is simply waiting for you and me to act on our faith. He's waiting for us to take a baby step. He's waiting for us to stretch forth our arm. He's waiting for us to write the check that we don't want to write. He's waiting for us to forgive somebody that we don't want to forgive. You see, this morning, when we hold on to unforgiveness, that is exactly the same thing as these religious leaders holding on to their way of thinking more than looking at Jesus. It's exactly the same thing. We're both stuck. I'm stuck if I won't receive forgiveness. I'm stuck if I won't ask for forgiveness. I'm stuck if I won't believe. I'm stuck if I won't help somebody, or I'm trying to keep up with the Joneses. I'm stuck. But this morning, God is a God of motion. He's a God of activity. There's absolutely nothing with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that has the ability to stand still, because He is a God that puts things in motion. He's a God that said, "Let the waters be divided." He's a God that set the star and the sun. When He speaks, things have to take place. You and me don't even have a choice at that point. This morning, I promise you, if you hear nothing else I'm saying, please, please hear the fact that God is wanting you to do something different than you've ever done it before, myself included. He wants me to forgive faster than I've ever been forgiven before. He wants me to let go of things instead of holding them over my own head. You see, it's easy for me to forgive other people. It really is. I could have a fight with Brother Kevin this morning, and I'm telling you, give me 30 minutes to calm down, I'm good. I mean, I'm absolutely good. But if I do something, I'll hold it over my head for days, weeks, years, whatever it may be. God's wanting to get me out of that stuck position. God's wanting me to extend my faith to Him and say, "God, you forgive me for this and this, and I forgave this person for this. So God, now I receive your forgiveness." In closing this morning, this past couple days, we've been dealing with insurance at the pharmacy, like personal insurance and Medicare, and it's insurance everywhere. And I watch people get help from the government, and man, it's amazing sometimes to see God work situations out, and I absolutely love it. People that's worked their whole lives, man, they get a blessing the way God works it out, and I absolutely love it. But I have a coworker, and she's like a little sister to me that I never wanted. And she asked me for help with certain things, and so I was helping her with her insurance yesterday, and trying to, help her figure out if there's subsidies and all this stuff. And we're on the phone with the insurance guy, and pretty much she is telling me to take the wheel and she'll just sit back and listen. And, I go through the process with them, and it works out that she actually doesn't get any help. She doesn't get any breaks, even though she's working her tail off and all this. And I'm frustrated, man. Yesterday, I was frustrated that that this young lady that's doing the right thing, trying her absolute best, can't get certain help. And I got really frustrated, And I'm like, why? I know people making three times the money she is that's getting help. And I began to get really mad about it. And I'm like, God, why is she not getting what she deserves? God, she's not getting what she absolutely deserves. And instantly God whispered to me, "Neither do you, Alan." You say, I don't get hell. I don't get what I deserve, the wrath of God. I don't get what I deserve, the unforgiveness of God. And I want to encourage you this morning to know that you and me are not getting what we deserve. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. You and me don't deserve anything that we get, but we serve a God that is so forgiving, that is so gracious, that redeemed us by the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, that he blesses us. So this day, I choose to maybe not complain as much as I did yesterday. I choose to not be stuck in a sour, mad attitude that maybe I think things should happen a certain kind of way. I choose to stretch forth. Because I promise you, brothers and sisters, this morning, when this man stretched forth his hand to Jesus, his life was absolutely never the same. And you and me have an opportunity that when we stretch our hands toward the one that created us, toward the one that redeemed us, toward the one that loved us, when we stretch forth our hands in a sign of worship, as a sign of surrender, as a sign of love, as a sign of adoration and endearment to the one that created you and me, the one that gives us grace instead of wrath, the one that gives us love instead of unforgiveness, the one that gives us peace instead of all hell breaking loose in our minds. When God is willing to make that exchange for us, I encourage you, I encourage myself this morning that we should stretch forth our hands. We worship the living God, the one that created it all. And I promise you, he loves you. I promise you, he's waiting for you and me to step towards him and to stretch. Let's pray. Father God, I honor you. God, I thank you that you are exactly who you say you are. I thank you this morning that when I get frustrated and mad and upset or scared or whatever the emotion may be, God, that you're always right there. I thank you, God, that you can make us like a tree planted by the living waters. I thank you, God, that our root can go downward and outward, God. I thank you that we can live in a world, God, full of all sorts of chaos, yet you can still give us peace. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning. I pray, God, that when they're hearing this message now, or maybe it be weeks or even years from now, God, I pray for a boldness that they will be willing to stretch, God. They'll be willing to get in a position that's not comfortable, God. They'll be willing to get in a position that they're maybe not used to, so that the Comforter can come to them and do his job. God, I thank you that you love us, and I thank you for your redemptive power. I thank you for the story of the man with the withered hand, God. It gives us hope. It gives us maybe a new way to look at it, God. It gives us an opportunity to worship you, because I know in your presence is the fullness of joy. I know in your presence is peace. I know in your presence is love and comfort and power. And Lord, we so desire that from you. And we thank you for everything that you do for us. We thank you, Lord, even as we were talking earlier about so many sicknesses going on, Lord, you are the great physician. I pray, God, that you will protect your people. I pray that you will heal your people, Lord. And I even pray for my mom, God, even now. I know she's been sick. God, I speak healing to her body. I speak that her body should line up to the will of God in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, for each family member that we have, Lord. I thank you for the businesses that we have that are represented, that you will bless them like you and you alone can do. And by faith, we believe these things in you, forever giving you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.